Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, and we're going to take a look at chapter 26. Psalm chapter 26. Psalm chapter 26, and sometimes when you are a pastor and you're waiting for the Lord to kind of guide you and direct you in what type of message you're going to deliver, the Lord uses various different things. He may use things in your life. He may use certain instances of things that need to be discussed right then and there about stuff that goes on in the world or other events. But again, you're always open to what the Holy Spirit is showing you. And there was something that I had read recently, and I began to think about it and began to kind of kick it around in my mind a little bit and began to truly meditate upon it. And it is the subject of integrity. And this kind of goes in line with what we were talking about how we continue walking with the Lord and that passage that we saw over there where he said that to his disciples. And we've talked about the attitude of the heart recently, and this relates to both of those subjects. It relates to how we walk and the manner in which we walk, but it also relates to our heart. Because again, God is concerned about our heart. That is the most, that is the top priority of what he is looking at. When he looks at us, he's looking at what is going on in our heart. It is from our heart, the issues of life, as we've seen in Scripture. It is from our heart that is what we say. It is from our heart how we think. And all of those kind of understanding about the heart, we realize that it is the primary way that the Lord is communicating to us. He wants a hold of your heart. He wants a hold of your heart, as it says over there in Proverbs, where Solomon says, and again, using kind of the Lord in this manner, give me thine heart. In the end, that's what God wants. He doesn't want, how great you are. He doesn't want your finances. He doesn't want any of that. He just wants your heart. Because if he has your heart 100%, then he has your love. Then he has your devotion. Then he has your attention. He has all of those things. He has your affection if he has your heart. And in Psalm chapter 26 and in verse 1 here, it says, judge me, O Lord. That's a tough one. You ever pray that? Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this time. We thank you again, Lord, for all those that are here. And Lord, we just pray above all your Holy Spirit will be able to freely work in our hearts. That, Lord, our hearts would be humble. We would not be resistant. We would not be stubborn or pride-filled. But, Lord, we would be tender and soft, yielding to your working, yielding to who you are, yielding to that word that we are about to read, and that, Lord, we would have a desire above all to have an integrity in our life that clearly matches your desires and your will. Lord, I thank you again for just giving us your word by which we can learn, by which we can hear the words of life. I thank you again for your Holy Spirit that teaches and guides and convicts and comforts. And I thank you, Lord, for the salvation that we have that makes all of this possible. Your sacrifice on the cross and the power of your resurrection. And Lord, again, I just pray that this time would be pleasing unto you in all things. I ask this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, there is that word integrity that shows up. I did some research and I started asking the question about structural integrity. And I started looking around for what was the biggest failure of structural integrity that has ever been recorded in history. And as I dug around, I found that in 27 AD, after one of the Caesars decided he was going to allow the gladiator games to begin again. This individual that was somewhat rich decided to try to become somewhat richer, constructed this giant Colosseum that could house some 50,000 people. And he constructed it of the wrong materials. He constructed it of wood. And he found that that structural integrity would not hold that amount of people. It would not hold that weight. And in one of the worst tragedies, human tragedies known to mankind, 20,000 people died that day when the structure collapsed. When the structure collapsed, there was several tens of thousands of individuals that were maimed and injured and not the same after that. But 20,000 individuals lost their life. And this was an issue of a structural integrity problem where the wrong material was used to build. They should have used something like stone. They should have done something like the Colosseum that you see in Rome that's still standing today. Well, number one, they should have never had the gladiator games to begin with, but, you know, understanding that it was the wrong materials, it wasn't something that was structurally sound. You know what the Lord is looking at when we read or hear about things like this in conjunction with what we just read now? And we ask the Lord to judge us. We're asking the Lord to judge, what is the structural integrity of my heart? What holds it together? What is it about? What is the building materials that I'm using? We get a definition of that word integrity, and we can define it is in the sense of looking at all the definitions throughout time as purity, without fault, a wholeness, as in it is complete and not missing any elements. It is unbroken. We look at the etymology of where the word comes from, and it comes from a root that doesn't even mean anything about the mechanics or engineering, but actually comes from the word that relate to blameless and pure in soundness. Now, when we think about that, we understand that why that word would also be used in an engineering and a mechanical sense, because you don't want something that is broken supporting. You don't want something that has a fault in it, that has a flaw in it, supporting something. You don't want that to be built the way you're going to build something. You don't want something to have an element that is missing or something of that nature in anything that you build, because you know it's going to collapse. And the same thing is true with our life. The same thing is true with our life. God wants us to have integrity in our life. Spiritual integrity. We live in a day and age where, you know, man's word doesn't mean a lot. I work in the legal world and we have to sign documents. And even nowadays, some people try to get out of that. Like, well, I didn't really mean to sign that. Well, you signed it. Well, that's not what I intended it to be. Well, you didn't read it. I mean, we understand that, you know, our signature still is legally binding in this world. But still, to a degree, there are verbal arrangements that are still legally binding. Handshake agreements that are still legally binding. But we live in a day and age where that doesn't mean anything. I mean, just take a look at the way people view marriage. Vows mean nothing to people anymore. And what we find is that the Lord is clearly showing that He wants us to have an integrity in our lives that is scripturally and biblically and spiritually sound according to God's design, according to how God designs it. And our text here, you know, as it begins to identify this, it shows that there's this element that is related to what we were talking about, specifically that walk. Continuing in that walk where he says, I have walked in mine integrity. I have walked in mine integrity. And this is not the psalmist boasting about this, because he starts it off with, Lord, I want you to judge, because I'm looking at it saying, I have walked in my integrity. I have walked in my integrity. And when somebody starts boasting about themselves, he is, I want you to notice, he is not boasting about how good he is. What he's boasting about is who God is. Because he says, I'm walking in my integrity because the only way I'm going to have integrity, and you look at the last part, is because I have trusted also in the Lord. That's how I know I'm not going to slide. In this area, in the Pacific Northwest, we have things that are landslides frequently. We've had some massive landslides. We've had them where they've closed off I-5 heading north and south. We've had massive slides take out roads that have been out for years as they still try to reconstruct. We've had slides here in Ridgefield on Pioneer Avenue where we've had to have detours and they've had to go in and bolster that ground because the integrity of the soil was compromised. It couldn't support its own weight. It couldn't support anything. And it collapsed and everything fell through. And we realize that this is what the Lord is teaching us with this psalm. Is he says, look, the integrity of trusting him is where we are going to have that foundation that is sure in God, that we're going to have the right footing in this life. So that when those winds come, when those rains come, when the floods come, we will still be able to stand in God. And here, David has prepared his heart in such a way that he's asking the Lord, I want you to be the inspector. You know, sometimes when you're building something and you have an inspector show up, you're like, meh. And builders kind of like, inspectors are there for a reason. And if you've ever seen some builders try to get away with some things, you understand why. And a good inspector is one that is diligent and looks at everything and says, this is a problem, this is this problem, this is a problem. You want to make sure that everything is structurally sound. Why? Because you're going to be living in there. You don't want the roof to collapse on you one day. You don't want to walk through a floor and have you go through and get to the first level from the second level without using the stairs. You want to make sure that things are the way they're supposed to be. And this is where the Lord is pointing out that David says, hey, Lord, I want you to judge that. I want you to inspect me. I want you to take a look at it. I want you to take a look at the integrity. And I want you to show me, Lord, where it is I have a fault where I'm not trusting you. Where there is a risk of something sliding or slipping away. I want you to examine me, Lord, as David frequently did. Remember, David was referred to as the man after God's heart. And when we understand what this passage is about, that makes perfect sense. Because he's saying, Lord, I want you to judge my heart. I want you to judge my heart according to your standards. I mean, I guarantee you, if we were to take a poll here, most of us would say that we have integrity. Most of us would say, well, yeah, I'm a man at my word. Most of us. But the fact is what God is showing us is that that's not for us to judge. That's for the Lord to judge. I want you to go over to the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. You know, the more that we trust the Lord, the less erosion we have in our life. And let me be clear, there are things in this world that are meant to erode your faith and trust in God. There are plenty of things out here in the world that are meant to wash away some of that foundation, to try to compromise your structural standing, to compromise what it is that you are believing in. There are so many false doctrines out there. There are so many things that are out there that are contrary to the Word of God. There are so many things that are contrary to who Christ is. There are so many things contrary to the doctrine of salvation. And I want to be clear, all of those things will erode away. They will erode away. As they said, for our evening service, we're going to be answering a question about somebody asking about a certain group and what they believe. And I always want to be very careful when we approach that subject and remind people, look, you need to know more about the Bible than you do cults, than false doctrines. Because I will tell you this, the more that you know about the Bible, the more you will be able to detect the lie when it happens. That's the idea, folks. And we find that that's part of the issue is everybody's wanting to, you know, have their own intellectual ascent. But I will tell you, even that will erode your foundation. Your foundation is found in Jesus Christ alone, folks. And if Jesus Christ is the Word of God, you're going to find it in the Bible. I mean, we begin to make that very logical deduction very quickly. If it's not found in the in a Bible sense, in a biblical sense, that is scripture upon scripture, that is line upon line, that is precept upon precept, then it's something that you need to be careful with. But I say all that to say this, is that when you were asking the Lord to judge us, we're asking to say He can examine it much, much more detail than we can. Lord, is there something that is compromising this? My brother, he lives in Portland, and he lives up there off of, you know, around Twilliker and Barber Boulevard up there in that area with all of those hills. And his home, his backyard is like this. And he's got these massive pillars that go all the way down into the bedrock. And at one point in time, the house settled and it shifted, and there was a door that he couldn't get open and close. And they had to come in and, you know, change some things around. And I'm like, well, that's a little scary. It's a little scary. But he had to make sure that the builder knew what they were doing. And they had to make sure that their footing was secure. And we want the Lord to examine that. We want to make sure that we are down and we are grounded in the rock and we are not grounded in sand. In chapter 20 of the book of Genesis, we have one of the first instances where integrity shows up, and we have this situation where Abraham is journeying, and he comes to this individual by the name of Abimelech. He's a king of Gerar, and he shows up, and Abimelech in verse 3, in verse 2, comes to Abraham and says, I want Sarah. I want Sarah to be my wife. I want her in my group. Now, obviously, we read this, and in verse 1, it says, and Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and journeyed in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Just so we clarify this, how old is Sarah at this point? She's aged. She's very well aged. And he looks at her and says, yeah, I want her as my wife. Abraham was scared. He didn't quite trust the Lord in this. And it created a problem. But I want you to notice this. Abimelech had a relationship with God. Because in verse 3, it says, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. You want to talk about a nightmare? When you have an image of God and he says, you're dead. Specifically, you're a dead man. Yeah, that would bring about some repentance real fast. And in verse 4, but Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he, not unto me, she is my sister. And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart, in innocency of my hands, have I done this? He's like, they lied to me. Wasn't quite a lie, it was a half-truth. Well, half-truth and half-lie still, you know, still a lie, all right? Even if it's 99.9% truth and there's still a little bit of lie in there, it's a lie. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. And he says, restore her back to Abraham. But I want you to point out this conversation with Abimelech and God here. And there's another kind of a similar passage over in 1 Kings. And it deals with the subject of the integrity. And the integrity is of the heart. It's not of your morals. It's not of how good you are. It's the intent behind what is going on. It is what is at the core of these things. And the Lord knew exactly what was going on. And while he didn't stop Abimelech at this point, he did put it in Abimelech's heart to say he wasn't going to go into her. But very clear, what we find is that the Lord is kind of helping him and preserving him. Abimelech's not the bad guy here. I mean, all Abraham had to say was, dude, she's mine. And Sarah could have said, yeah, and that guy's mine too. Where was that? No. They were fearful. And see how the little bit of that lack of trust erodes and created a situation that not only did impact Abraham and Sarah later on, and I can get to that at some other time, but it had an effect on Abimelech. But the Lord looks at Abimelech and says, I know your integrity. And I know the integrity of your heart. Because this is exactly what he's saying when he says, in the integrity of my heart, in innocency of my hands have I done this. He's pointing out very clearly. He says, I wasn't doing anything wrong. I mean, a lot of times you get that response. Law enforcement, when they're cuffing the person, how many times? I mean, you've seen all the videos. I didn't do anything. And then half the time you know exactly what they did. But Abimelech was completely free from that. And it was the integrity of his heart that he's saying, Lord, I want you to look at that. Just like David did. Turn over to 1 Kings. I want to again point this out in 1 Kings chapter 9. 1 Kings chapter 9. And I want you to see what God says to Solomon here, where Solomon is having a conversation with God, and we find that he makes a covenant with Solomon. And what we find in verse 4 is he tells Solomon, here's what I want you to do. And if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever. And I want you to focus on that, where he says, I want your integrity to be like your father's. Parents, listen up. The greatest thing you can leave your kids isn't your house, isn't property, and isn't money, but is an understanding of an integrity of heart that God is pleased with. That's parenting. Everything else is kind of ancillary. Yeah, it's important to teach them to brush their teeth. Yeah, it's important to teach them, as we said this morning, how to open a door. It's important to teach them some simple things. It's important to teach them how to cook something else other than ramen. I mean, it's important to teach them those things. Amen? Amen. But you know what's more important than all of that is teaching them to have integrity scripturally, biblically. Because that's what God's going to look at. That's what God's going to look at. He's not going to look at their career path. He's not going to look at all those things. That's not where his concern is. His concern is what is the integrity of their heart? What is the integrity of their heart? That's the principle that we leave them. We find David and we find Abimelech here with integrity. We find God telling Solomon, that's the integrity that you need in your own life. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. And here we find Solomon writing about this, writing about integrity, probably keeping in mind what the Lord had told him. And we find in verse 3, it says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." You know what sin does? Sin erodes. So when I talk about integrity, I want us to understand that the antonym to that is going to be things that are false. They're going to be things that are sinful. Now look, I understand when we take a look at Scripture, there are some things that not all faults are considered sin, but we're going back to kind of that Deuteronomy 25 thing where he talks about the wicked man is going to be whipped because of his faults, for each fault that he has. And we're talking about sin in that regard. So when we talk about that, we talk about sins and we talk about faults, I want us to imagine, if you will, some sort of structure that is supporting something, and you come alongside and you find a fault in it, as in the concrete isn't mixed correctly, that maybe the wrong type of rebar was used, not enough rebar was used, or maybe there's a big giant crack in it and it's supporting all of this weight, you'd look at that and go, that's not safe. That's not safe. What God points out here is he talks about that perverseness of transgressor is going to destroy you. It will bring your house down. It will destroy you spiritually. But here he says the integrity of the upright is going to guide them. Well, what is the integrity of the upright? What gives us that strength? What gives us all of those things that we need to make sure that we have it all built the way it's supposed to build or be built and support everything that needs to be supported? Well, it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Those actions that we do on a day-to-day basis that are done through Christ is what strengthens you. When it's done out of your own, that's not strengthening you. That's eroding. That's putting cracks in there. And we begin to realize what the Lord is teaching us with this integrity when we see it says, "Where's it, you know, Lord, judge me, judge my integrity." We're asking him to say, "Hey, look, I want you to see how it is that I'm walking in that." I mean, think about this. This right here is going to teach you what integrity is. Amen. This is going to teach you what's upright. This is the Word of God. This is what we have that shows us that. So when he says the integrity of the upright shall guide them, this is what he's talking about. He's saying this is going to guide you. Jesus Christ is going to guide you. The Holy Spirit is going to use this to guide you. We be careful about what guidance we receive, because that guidance will compromise your integrity. It will compromise what is right. Through my life, I've been tempted many times to do things that are against God's word by individuals. Well, look, nobody's looking over here, so it's okay. No, it's not. It's not okay. Well, nobody's going to notice that. Don't worry about it. No, God notices it. God notices it. I've been tempted to justify things in a way that is perverse. Well, I mean, we don't have to follow everything, right? We don't have to obey every single law that's out there, and we don't have to do all those things. And yeah, we do. Because I tell you this, those little ones will start eroding away quicker than you think.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know is you're scrambling to grab all of those pebbles and try to hold it all together, and it's a full-on slide. Little things. Doesn't the Bible tell and warn about the little foxes that nibble at the vines? It's the little things, folks. It's not the big grandiose ones. Because the big grandiose ones are the ones that are a sign and a symptom of the little things. There's a city that is up in Washington, up a ways, that was completely destroyed by a landslide. And the documentation of people that said to the state over and over and over again, there's a problem, there's a problem, there's a problem, there's a problem, there's a problem. We're seeing these little things, there's a problem. Those little things were ignored, and a majority of the town was completely wiped out. Because other people look the other direction. And what we begin to realize, this is what the Lord's talking about here. That perverseness, just a little bit of that, is going to destroy. Turn over to Psalm 25. Psalm chapter 25. Psalm chapter 25. We find that we're talking about a walk in integrity. We're talking about guidance, which goes back to that walk and the integrity of the heart. In Psalm chapter 25 and in verse 21, it says, "Let integrity and upright preserve me, for I wait on thee." I'll tell you this. One thing that is very clear that I have found out in this Christian life is this. It is better to wait on the Lord than try to do it yourself.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Well, a couple of people under God. I'll tell you this. You know, here he is. He's talking about it. And he says the integrity and uprightness is going to preserve. And it says, "For I wait on thee." The connection there is very clear. I need to let God handle some things. Yeah. Let me rephrase that. I need to let God handle everything.
Amen.
Because I need his guidance. And that's where the preservation comes in. That's where the judgment comes in. Because what we have to do is we have to begin to look at it and say, okay, what do I need to fix here? What do I need to maintain? You know, we have bridges all around this state, all around this country, that are in dire need because some inspector has gone underneath there and was like, oh no. Because half of the I-beams are rotted with rust. As these giant tractor trailers run over them every single day. Remember what happened over there not too long ago in Minnesota? That whole thing just went bloom. Because everybody was sitting there going, we got a problem, we got a problem, we got a problem, we got a problem. And the commuters get mad, we'll fix it. Well, it takes time to fix things. If you've got an integrity problem, it's going to take some time to fix that. But I will tell you this, you let the Lord fix it. But what we find is that we find that your integrity is necessary for preserving what you are doing here in this life for the Lord. If you don't have integrity, guess what? There is going to be a lack of preservation. Now look, I am not talking about losing your salvation, folks, okay? I want to be very clear on this. But when we are talking about what we are doing for the Lord, and we're talking about preserving what the Lord has built in your life with all of the things that he has desired you to use, the gold, the silver, the precious stone, and he says, this is what I want you to build with. When we come along and we build with something else, which is our wood, hay, and stubble, that we think we're going to contribute, we compromise the integrity. When I do what I want to do, that's wood, hay, and stubble. That's dead wood. That's dead trees. That's dead grass. It's just dead. That's all that wood, hay, and stubble is. It's dead. The Lord says, I want you to build something better. Take a look back over at a book of Proverbs in chapter 20. In Proverbs chapter 20. I've heard a lot of Christian businessmen say, well, I need to kind of cheat a little bit here because, you know, the government's going to get theirs, and I want to make sure that, you know, I provide, you know, for my family and everything. So, you know, I'm going to kind of fudge that number a little bit, and I'm going to, you know, do this and things like that. You know, the Lord looks at that, and he's saying, you're compromising your integrity. You're compromising your integrity. Nobody's going to see it. Well, they may not. And you might be able to justify it. But when's the last time you tried to justify something to the Lord that you did wrong? How'd that conversation go? I find it goes very poorly. I find it goes very poorly. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, what does he say here in verse 7? It says, the just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. You ever meditate on that one? You're supposed to, we talk about reading a proverb a day, right? You ever get to that one and kind of sit there and chew on that for a little while? Do you think that you would be called a just man? If God was to look at the integrity of your heart? You know, your children pick up on those things. Children are like mirrors, aren't they? One day you're just, you know, going along and everything's fine, and then you look down and you realize there are a bunch of mini-me's. And they're doing exactly what you did. And then you're like, wait a second. And the grandparents are sitting there going, ha ha. They've been waiting for that day, and they sit there and they go, yes. What do you leave for your kids? You leaving a legacy of integrity? And this is what he's talking about. You want your kids to be blessed afterwards, right? You want your kids to live a blessed life, amen? Amen. I want my daughters to live a blessed life. Yeah, they're getting older. Yeah, I'm getting old. You know? We're talking about marriage already. Pretty soon it's just going to be me and Amy. We're just kind of ready, me and Amy and the dog. We're down to one dog now. It's like, wow. You think about that for a moment. You think about, okay, what have I left my daughters? Did I leave them a blessing or did I leave them a curse? Integrity. Go back to Psalm chapter 26. Psalm chapter 26. You want integrity when you walk. You know, integrity is one of the key things that you want to walk. That's how you walk. I was trained that in order to stop a threat, the quickest way to stop a threat is if you can take out the person's mobility center right here. It's impossible for a person to walk if their pelvis is broken. I'm not talking about a fracture, I'm talking about broken. Because the way that the whole body is designed, it's going to put somebody down on the ground and you stop the threat. And I'm not saying that to teach you how to hurt somebody. I'm saying that the devil knows that too. And the devil will take out your integrity to get you to stop walking. Because if there's no soundness in your loins, if there's no soundness down there, it's difficult to walk. It's difficult to do things. In Psalm chapter 26 and in verse 11, it says this. He says, "But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me." The psalmist says, "I'm going to walk in my integrity." And the psalmist declares in the first verse, the theme behind all of this is, my integrity is going to be based on how much I trust God. How much I believe Him. How much faith I have in what He has done and what He does for me on a day-to-day basis. And rather than trusting self and rather than trusting in things that are iniquitous and rather than trusting in something that is contrary to God's Word, he goes through this process and he begins to make this declaration, just like Daniel said when he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. The psalmist here, David, says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to purpose in my heart. I am going to walk in mine integrity, which is solely based on you, Lord, and you, trusting you. And I want you to judge me daily in mine integrity. That's a tough thing to think about when we start talking about our walk and our Christian walk in a day-to-day life. I want you to turn to a couple more passages and turn to the book of Job. You know, as we pointed out, the book of Job isn't about Job, it's about God. But we find that one of the subject matters and the principle that God is trying to teach to us and also to Job is this issue of integrity. And I want you to see something that is here. We realize that the way that God talks about Job in Job chapter 1, verse 1, is that he was a perfect man, and he was upright, feared God, and eschewed evil, right? Okay. And the Lord kind of brags about Job to the devil. And I look at it in a very kind of, maybe it's a bit of a twisted way. Or I look at it and I go, that's God telling the devil, hey, look at that guy. He's a human being and he can do it. Anyways, in the second chapter, I want you to notice what God says about Job. And in verse 9, it says this, or excuse me, not verse 9, back up there a little bit here. Yeah, verse 3, where it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity." You jump over there to verse 9, and I want to point this out. Even his wife was questioning it. And it says in verse 9, "Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." Thanks for the support, dear. But I want you to notice that his wife noticed he had integrity still. And God noticed that he had integrity still. And while Job had some questions, one of the greatest passages of Scripture throughout all of this is when Job says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." I'm going to take a look at Job chapter 27. Job chapter 27. Job chapter 27. And this is a difficult passage. But I want you to understand, Job's lost everything. And now he's got three friends berating him, insistent upon his sin. He's got nothing. Except his trust in God. And what he says here in Job chapter 27, and I want you to look at verse 5. He says, God forbid that I should justify you. God forbid that I should justify you. He says this to his friends, till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. Everything has gone wrong for Job. Everything. And he wasn't like, you know, that, what is it, Lee Greenwood song about, at least I'm still American, I'm proud to be an American. He wasn't an American, by the way. You look at it, he wasn't even really Jewish. But I want you to see something here. You know what he says? I'm still going to retain my integrity. Till I die, I'm still going to retain my integrity. Folks, when we walk with the Lord and we're continuing to walk with the Lord, that walk should have integrity in everything you do. Job did. David did. Abimelech did. Solomon tried. Solomon at least taught his son. And Solomon said, that's one of the best things you can leave for your kid. How much do you trust God? If you're going to walk with Him, that's going to be key to walking in integrity. You know, after that Colosseum collapse in 27 AD, Caesar was disgusted with the whole thing, about 20,000 of his citizens gone. He put in new rules. And he said that in order to build the Colosseum, you had to be this rich. I was like, okay, well, that's... But then he said, and we're going to institute building inspectors. When was the last time you had God inspect yours? No, you're not. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. He dwells in you. When's the last time you checked the foundation? When's the last time you checked your support columns? When's the last time you checked those load-bearing walls? When's the last time you checked anything on the building? Is it structurally secure? I know it's a bit of a hard message this morning. And it's a convicting one. Try preaching it. Try studying for it. Your integrity matters, folks. The integrity of your heart. Does your heart trust Jesus today? Let's stand for a word of prayer. Want everybody's head bowed and everybody's eyes closed. Maybe there's some areas in your life that maybe you realize that maybe you got some faults you need to address. Maybe there's some things you need to patch up. Maybe you need to take care of those cracks. Maybe you need to take care of that eroding landscape around you. Before you start trying to repair it, ask the Lord to say, you know, to look at it and say to you exactly what needs to be fixed. Have Him inspect your heart. Have Him judge it. Are you walking in integrity? Does the world see it? But above all, does God see it? Will you keep your integrity no matter what? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time. Thank you again, Lord, for all that you have done for us. And Lord, I thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I thank you for conviction. But Lord, I thank you above all for the comfort. Knowing that, Lord, when we are convicted, that we can boldly approach your throne. That, Lord, we can seek your face in everything. That, Lord, we can find restoration, mercy, grace, and forgiveness in you. And Lord, I just pray that as we think on this subject matter, that, Lord, on a day-to-day basis, we would ask ourselves that question. Am I walking in that integrity? Lord, will you judge me? Lord, will you judge the integrity of my heart? And Lord, I pray that if there is somebody here that has not trusted you as their Savior, Lord, we know what the integrity of their heart is. That without you, there is none there. And their hope is built upon shifting sands that will wash out with the rain and the flood and the wind. And Lord, I just pray that as we close with this hymn, they would consider the offer of salvation through you, through your shed blood, through your resurrection, through what you've done for us, so that we may have that forgiveness of sins, that we may walk in a new life with you. And Lord, I pray you would work on their hearts. And these things I do ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.